Looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday, July the 28th, 2021. It is currently 5:45 p.m. Central Time. I'm coming to you live from the sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church, located right here in Ovalle, Texas. Give me one second. I'm checking something. I hit the go live button just a second too early. I was not... there we go. Okay, so it looks like everything looks right. Yes, okay. I wrote down part 13. I think there were some things I did wrong when I know this doesn't make any sense to you, but before you go live, you have to fill out an entire screen, right? You got to give titles. You got to give the title of the episode. You got to give a description. You've got to put keywords. There's all these different things you have to do. And then once all of that is ready to go, then at the bottom, there's a little... basically a red button that says go live, and then you press the button and then you're live on the internet. But I don't think I've had everything filled out properly. So it went ahead and let me go live, but I'm going to have to go back and do some editing on. I don't know if I wrote a description out. I don't know if I did anything. So basically what I'm saying is it looks like I made a mistake in filling everything out for this episode of the Theology Central Podcast. And this episode of the Theology Central Podcast is part 13 in our discussion, our study, our Bible study exercise of Psalm 37. However, my initial mistake in starting this episode is perfectly timed, because it is very symbolic of what we need to talk about. Because I believe that in the last episode, I made a mistake, and I'm going to spend some time in this episode really talking about that past mistake, clarifying, and hopefully helping you see how easy it is to mishandle God's word. Because I didn't receive any emails. So because I didn't receive any emails, probably no one else caught it, but you probably should have, right? Because it's not like the biggest mistake. Well, you know what? Let me take that back. Anytime we mishandle God's word, it's always a big deal. Now, it may seem insignificant, and it may not be like dealing with a major doctrine, but when we mishandle God's word, we mishandle God's word, and well, we have to fix it. We have to acknowledge it. We have to, as a preacher, teacher, it doesn't matter. Whenever we handle God's word, if we find ourselves that we somehow mishandled it and we were not accurate, you can't worry about your ego. You got to set aside your ego, and you've got to acknowledge it. Look, all that matters for you and for me in our Christian life is understanding God's word correctly, handling it correctly, not our ego, not fame. None of that matters. It's about handling God's word. So I just want to demonstrate kind of what went wrong, I think, yesterday in our study of Psalm 37, because something kind of went wrong. Now, I think I did a pretty good job. I listened to the episode when I drove home, and I think I was able to turn it around. I think I was able to make it make sense. So I don't think I did any major damage. So put it this way. There were things happening that maybe you did not catch, maybe because I did find a way of trying to correct it. But I just want you to see, what I want to do here is demonstrate to you how easily things can go wrong when handling God's word, all right? Because remember, whenever we pick up God's word, we get involved, right? We're involved. And sometimes a certain way of, and this is where we're really going to try to explain this. I really want to put your thinking caps on here. This is not going to be your typical Bible study exercise, as in the fact that we're going to really get into the text and take it apart. This is going to be a Bible study exercise, just really warning and talking about how we handle the text of scripture and how sometimes we mishandle it. So I hope you find this to be beneficial. Hopefully this will be a beneficial discussion, all right? So here's what happens. Whenever we pick up God's word, we bring to it emotions, how we feel, our emotions, We bring in our past experiences. We bring in the how we're currently thinking at a certain time. In other words, you can feel and be thinking in a certain way, and you pick up the Bible, and sometimes the way we're currently thinking at that moment and the way we're currently feeling at that moment, it has a way of becoming the lens through which we see the scripture. So we read the scripture and read it in a certain way because of the way we're thinking and feeling at that moment. And we may see the text completely different when that way of thinking and those emotions are not present. And that's a clear indication that we're not actually seeing the text. We're seeing our thoughts, our feelings, and our emotions. We're seeing the text through that lens, so we're not seeing the text accurately. And then in many cases, we may be inserting something into the text that's not actually there. We just have to realize whenever we pick up the Bible, we're bringing a lot in. We're bringing a lot to that text. You may not realize it, but at that moment, think of it this way. Forget the Bible for a moment. Forget the Bible. Maybe this will make sense to you. Maybe it will not make any sense to you, but maybe there's someone out there that will go, oh, okay, I know what he's saying. Okay, maybe this will turn the light bulb on, okay? And if it does, please let me know. Okay, that illustration made sense because this makes perfect sense to me. There have been certain situations and times in my life because everyone knows I'm a gigantic music fan. Music, okay? I could do an entire podcast about music, okay? But music has played and continues to play a major part in my life. And there are times in my life where I can remember where I heard a song at a specific time, and based off what I was going through, based off a certain feeling or emotion I had at that time, the song immediately resonated with me, and I had some connection to the song. It spoke to me. It had an emotional connection. It was something amazing and awesome. And I was like, and that's the way I heard, and I heard the song, but what I was doing is I was hearing the song through that emotion and that feeling. And so many cases, I didn't realize it at the time, but sometimes a little later on, I'll look back and go, wait a minute, that song wasn't really about what I was feeling. That song really wasn't, those lyrics weren't really talking about that. I was finding a connection and making that song about my situation when it really wasn't about that kind of situation. It was about something completely different. It really wasn't about that. It was about something different. The songwriter was saying something completely different, but for some reason, when I heard those words, based of what I was going through, I heard those lyrics saying something that they didn't actually say because I was bringing my emotions and my thoughts and my feelings at that moment to those lyrics. But when you go back and look at them later, you're like, well, that really wasn't saying that. But that's the way I made those lyrics connect to my situation. I made it connect to my situation, and therefore I had an emotional connection to it. And it's hard not to ever hear those songs. Sometimes you hear those songs later, and it's hard not to hear them based off that previous connection you had to them without any actual connection to what those lyrics are actually saying. Hopefully, some of you that makes sense to some of you, you probably still don't get what I'm trying to say. All I'm trying to say is this: when I pick up the Bible, there's a lot of things going on. And when I start reading those verses, there's a lot of things that because of what's going on inside of me, can greatly impact what I actually see and what I actually am reading. And yesterday, that happened in our Bible study exercise in Psalm 37. All right, let me explain. Psalm 37, verse 16. I'm just going to read the verse and tell you exactly what my mind did, which was actually incorrect. Psalm 37, verse 16. Psalm 37, verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For some reason, when I read that verse yesterday, my brain basically was, I don't know why I was thinking this way, but my brain immediately thought, okay, the righteous, the little that, okay, what's the little that the righteous has? The righteous has things that may appear to be little to the wicked world, but are they really little? No, what the righteous has, it may be considered little from the world's perspective, but what I have as being righteous, being declared righteous, in other words, being a Christian, being saved, what I have that may be considered little and insignificant in the eyes of the world is actually spiritual riches and spiritual treasure. So in reality, I'm spiritually rich. So I was reading this, a little that the righteous man hath is better. It's better because actually I'm rich, and the wicked there, they may have what they think is more, and all of the wicked together may think that what they have is better, but in reality, what I have is better. The little that I have, which is actually not a little, it's spiritual riches, that's why it's better, because it's better not maybe in quantity, but it is better in quality, because I have spiritual riches, they have physical riches. And spiritual riches will last, physical riches will deteriorate and fall apart. That's immediately what went to my mind. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Psalm 37, this is a psalm that is giving us what we need to know in order to live out our Christian life the right way. If we're going to live out the Christian life, there's some things we need to know. We need to know the future of the ungodly. Psalm 37, you can read that in verse 1 and following. We need to know the future of the godly. You can read that in Psalm 37. We need to know the reality of the present world in which we live, which is there is ungodly people around us who oppose everything we're trying to do, oppose our spirituality, oppose the truth of God. And then I was like, okay, well, this makes perfect sense. The fourth thing we need to know then is we need to know the reality of the riches which we have in the present. See, I, as a Christian, I am rich right now. And if I realize the riches that I have right now, then I won't be envious and jealous and upset about the wicked world and all of their success and all of their riches. This is very important in allowing me to live out my Christian life. The only problem is that's not what the text is actually saying. There is truth in everything I'm saying, but I'm actually mishandling the text. The text is not saying, look, here's the wicked world. They have their riches. Now, as a Christian, if you're righteous, you have a little bit, but your little bit are better riches because you're spiritually rich. It's better to have that those little spiritual riches than all of the multitude of physical riches in the world. That's not an accurate handling of the text. And I don't know why my mind immediately went there, and it didn't dawn on me until I hit go live. And when I started doing the Bible study exercise, all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, that's not what the text is saying. So you'll hear me in that Bible study exercise try to correct it and say, okay, well, the text is actually saying this. However, I think there's this other point of application. Now, I still stand by this other point of application, but I just want you to see how easy your initial thought may not be accurate, and you start trying to make scripture say something that it doesn't. So let me clarify a little bit here, right? When we look at Psalm 37, all right, we look at Psalm 37 and we look at verse 16. I'm going to read this to you from a number of translations, which really gives you an idea of what is actually being said here. Psalm 37, verse 16. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked people. Or many wicked. It doesn't say people. Many wicked. All right, let me give another translation. New Living. It is better to be godly and have a little than to be rich and to be evil and rich. The ESV. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. Berean Study Bible. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many who are wicked. Now, what this verse is actually saying is very simple and very straightforward. It is better to be righteous than it is to be wicked, even if being righteous means all you have is a little bit of wealth or riches in this world. In other words, if you are righteous and you have very little in this world, it is still better than being wicked and having all kinds of material wealth. In both cases, it's referring to material wealth. And I immediately went to the idea, well, the little the righteous has, that's spiritual things, versus the many things the wicked has. I immediately took as a contrast between the spiritual things and physical things, which was incorrect. I don't know why my mind went that direction, because obviously the idea was already floating around, and I just brought it and shoved it right into the text. The simple understanding is very straightforward. It is better for you to be righteous, even if that means you're going to have very little in this world. It is better to be righteous with very few things, material things, than it is to be rich or to be evil and rich with many material things. It is better to be righteous and have very little than to be evil and have a lot. That is what the text is simply putting forth. Now, what I try to do is go, okay, that's what it's saying, but then my mind, and once I realized that's what it was saying, I tried to correct myself and make sure I explain that, but then I tried to offer an application, and my thinking was this, okay. It is true that it's better to be righteous and have very few things, but how can I maintain that way of thinking? Because at some point I may become Psalm 37 warns about it at the beginning of the chapter. I can become very angry and very envious of the ungodly people who are running around, and they seem to be successful and prosperous in all of their evil schemes. How can I maintain the right mindset, saying, you know what, it's better to be righteous and have few things, and then you look over at the ungodly, and they're ungodly, and they seem to be, they have everything. How can I maintain the right way of thinking? And so I applied it then almost as an additional thought and an additional application, that the way I can maintain this right way of thinking is this. When I realize that even though I may be poor in material things, that I'm actually rich in spiritual things. And if I will be focused on my spiritual riches that I currently have in the present, it will allow me to walk through this world in a correct way of thinking without becoming jealous, envious, and angry at the prosperity of the wicked. Now, I think there's some truth to that, but that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is simply saying, it's not even trying to go that direction. It's simply saying, look, if you're righteous, it's better, even though you have very few things, than being rich or being evil and being rich with many things. That's all it's saying. My thinking, though, is, well, wait a minute, how can I maintain that right way of thinking? Well, it's this. I'm righteous, again, because of my salvation, my imputed righteousness. I'm trying to live godly. I have very few, material things. However, it's better because I need to also bring into this equation that I am currently spiritually rich. And if I realize my spiritual riches, it should lead to my contentment with my few material things. So I started trying to develop an idea of how to maintain this right way of thinking, even though that's not the intended goal of that verse in Psalm 37. So I want you to understand what happened. Now, I think in the previous episode, I think I did a very good job of trying to balance that out. But initially, I was just going with, hey, we're spiritually rich. We're spiritually rich. And as soon as I started the live episode, I was like, wait a minute, I got to correct this. So I think I did a decent job, but I just want you to see it as a cautionary tale that when you pick up the Bible, you're bringing, sometimes you've already got certain ideas in your brain, certain feelings, and for some reason, you'll just read that right into the text, which is very problematic. And anyone can do this. What we have to do is always go back and recheck our work and then go, oh, I made a mistake there. And when I listened yesterday, I mean, during it, I realized I was making a mistake. I tried to correct it. But when I listened to it, I realized, I guess it came to me, what happened? Why did I read Psalm 37:16 and immediately go, okay, yes, I'm righteous. I have a few things. But those few things are my spiritual riches, which are better than all of the material wealth that the world can have. I don't know why I read it that way, because that's not what the text is saying. The text is simply drawing a correlation. It's better to be righteous than to be wicked. even if that means you're going to have very few material possessions and very few material riches as a righteous person. It's still better than being evil and having all of the material wealth. That is the simple, straightforward. I was going all kinds of additional directions. Now, I still want you to do the homework I gave you. I still want you to find the verses that speak of our spiritual riches. And I'm just going to throw in a little bit of help for you here because I spent the day working on this. I was going to possibly turn it into an actual sermon, but I'll just give you a little bit of help here, all right? The verse that came to my mind is 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 9, we read these powerful words. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So Jesus Christ, who was rich, became poor, and through his poverty, I might be rich. If I am a Christian, I have been made rich because of what Jesus Christ has done. Well, I need to understand those spiritual riches in the present, because if I don't understand those spiritual riches in the present, I'm going to look at the ungodly, maybe material wealth. Put it this way, if I understand my spiritual riches, it protects me in a lot of ways spiritually. One, it keeps me from becoming discouraged and frustrated that the wicked seem to have so much and seem to be so prosperous, because I'll be like, no, you may have all of those things, but I have spiritual riches that far exceeds what you have, right? Number two, hopefully, not only will it keep me from becoming frustrated and discouraged, hopefully it will protect me from becoming envious and protect me from covetousness, which God condemns. I need to keep envy and covetousness from my heart. How can I do that? Remember the spiritual riches I currently have right now, because Christ, who was rich, became poor so that I can be rich in him. I need to understand these riches. If I understand them, it keeps me from being discouraged. It keeps me from envy and covetousness. This is a critical part in walking through this world and making and protecting you as you try to make it through this ungodly world. I think it's very important. Now, I looked up the definition of spiritual riches, and I found this definition in a dictionary, a Christian dictionary, Bible dictionary kind of thing. And I don't remember the source because I don't have the book here in front of me. But it reads like this. Out of his infinite abundance, God gives his people spiritual treasure. This, much more valuable than material wealth, is to be held in the highest esteem and sought after eagerly. So in a sense, there seems to be two aspects of spiritual treasure. We are made rich. There is one sense that we are just given these spiritual riches in salvation, but then there seems to be spiritual riches that we should eagerly seek and try to find and try to obtain. So it seems like we are made rich in Christ, and then there's continuing spiritual riches available to us that we should seek and earnestly look for, and we should, listen, we should highly esteem the spiritual riches. We should highly esteem and be grateful for the spiritual riches far more than any material riches that we could hope to gain, want, desire, and long for. I mean, let's be honest, though. And this is where we can't play any church games. We've got to be honest. If someone right now contacted me and said, you know what, I'm not even giving this to your ministry. This is for you personally. I'm going to give you a check for $200,000. $200,000. Well, first, that would absolutely and completely, utterly transform my life. That would be amazing. First thing I would do is pay off my house. Praise God. That would be amazing if I didn't have that. Yeah. Okay, don't even get me started. And then I would have $100,000. I would have $100,000 just, I don't even know what I would do. I would I'd probably just lay on the floor and cry. I would like, I have $100,000 in my bank. What do I do with $100,000? I wouldn't even know what to do. I literally wouldn't know what to do. But you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. If someone emails me and says that, I'm not going to turn it down. And I'm going to sit there and be thinking about what can I do with this and how this is going to change my life. I doubt I'm going to say, you know what? You keep your $200,000 because I'm rich spiritually. Now, I'm not saying being rich spiritually should mean we should turn it down. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it just demonstrates that we have a tendency of esteeming more highly physical riches than we do spiritual riches. I'm just being honest with you. I know I would be like, I'd be running around the house yelling and screaming, going, we got $200,000. We have $200,000. We can pay off the house. And then guess what? I don't know. We have this money left over. I don't even know what we can do. Yeah. I rarely wake up going, I'm spiritually rich. I'm spiritually rich. Let me remind myself of all of the spiritual riches which I have. I have a tendency not to do that. I have a tendency not to do that. But again, I think the understanding of my spiritual riches gives me then the ability, remember, to be content no matter what state that I find myself, hungry, whatever, to be content. I think what leads to contentment, what leads me to the understanding that it's better to have just a few material riches and be righteous than it is to be evil and have all kinds of physical riches, is what leads me to thinking that way is a complete understanding of the spiritual riches which I already possess and should continue to seek to obtain, because there's a lot of spiritual riches. All right? So I think that's very important. Now, oh, there's more I could go here. Proverbs 10:22. I think there's I want to look at this. Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22 says this. Proverbs 10:22. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is God's blessings that make us rich. Now, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, what are those spiritual blessings we've been given? We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings and heavenly blessings, and those blessings make us rich. We need to know all of those spiritual blessings. What are all of those spiritual blessings? All right? And again, I want you to find all of the things that we have that make us spiritually rich. I want you to be able to find, and I still want you to do this, even though I know it's not perfectly connected to Psalm 37, it's still connected in this way. I need to have this attitude that it's better to be righteous with few material things than it is to be wicked and have all kinds of material wealth. I need to be able to develop that way of thinking. And I don't think I will ever develop that way of thinking until I understand the spiritual riches which I currently have right now in the present. Christ was rich, became poor so that I could be rich. I'm rich right now. I need to know all of my spiritual riches. I need to know the ones that are available to me that I need to seek. And that needs to be my focus. That needs to be what's most important to me. That's what I rejoice over. That's what I cherish. That's what matters the most. And until we get that right attitude, then we're going to find ourselves at times discouraged, bitter, upset, angry. This is very true. They've done enough studies demonstrating that one of the reasons social media at times actually leads to anxiety and depression is because we have a tendency to look on social media and compare our present life with the present life of other people. And their social media accounts, Instagram, whatever, seems to demonstrate that their lives are better than ours. They have a better family. They get to go on these vacations. They have a better home. And we compare ourselves. They're better physically than us. They're better. And so we compare ourselves to that and we become discouraged, frustrated, envious. Maybe there's jealousy. Maybe there is covetousness. And that's detrimental to your spiritual life. What you should look is like, look at all of the things they have, but look at what I have. I have spiritual riches. I have spiritual riches that are far greater. Now, I know sometimes we tell ourselves that and we don't really believe it, but we've got to get ourselves to a point where we understand our spiritual riches, which then we can look and go, you know what, that person on social media, yeah, they hate God, they hate Christianity, yeah, they own 3 cars, a $1 million home, they get to go on vacation, their house is right there on the beach, they have all of these posts and Instagram pictures, and I wish I had their life. But then you stop and go, you know what? It's better to be righteous and have few things than to be wicked and have all of those things. And what lets me think this way is because I never forget the spiritual riches which I currently have right now in my possession. This is so critical into thinking and helping you in your spiritual life. So I still want you to find all the scriptures that speak of your spiritual riches. I want you to find all of them, okay? All right? Let me just give you a clue here. I may give you a clue. Give me a second. I'm going to look for something here because I think it's very important. This comes from what dictionary is this? It's a dictionary of Bible themes, all right? And they talk about spiritual riches. Here we go. Here are the riches we have. I'm going to go through them, and then you can look these up and find the scriptures. So I'm going to help you do the work. All right, here we go. And we'll come back and maybe I may do a sermon on this. All right, here we go. Here are some of your spiritual riches. God's wisdom and knowledge. Now, you can take God's wisdom and knowledge and then start running cross-reference, demonstrating how wisdom is basically a spiritual treasure. We can seek out and have God's wisdom. It's available to us as Christians. That's treasure. His mercy, love, and grace. That's all treasures that we should completely cherish. His love, his mercy, and grace. This Bible dictionary says his riches in Jesus Christ. Now, exactly what does that mean? His riches in Jesus Christ. Now, they've got some scriptures here. I'm not gonna give them away, but you can find them. His precious word. Do you see God's word is a spiritual treasure that you have? A wealth of spiritual qualities. What does that mean? A glorious gospel. A costly kingdom. A rich reward. A heavenly inheritance. Now, I'll stop right there. Those are some of the ones. So the ones they offered up is his wisdom and knowledge, his mercy, love, and grace, his riches in Jesus Christ, his precious word, a wealth of spiritual qualities, a glorious gospel, a costly kingdom, and a rich reward, and a heavenly inheritance. Now, you can find scriptures that correspond with those and start trying to develop kind of your inventory of spiritual riches, and you need to know them and memorize them and review them and cherish them, be thankful for them, and never forget that you're righteous, and that may mean that you have very little physically, but you are spiritually rich, and those spiritual riches should lead to a contentment in your life that keeps you from becoming envious, discouraged, and angry at the success, prosperity of the wicked. Which this is essential to you maintaining some stability in your Christian life and you're being able to be victorious and move forward. There you go. All right. We advanced that a little bit. So I corrected. Hopefully I helped you understand what I had done. I think that's a valuable lesson. And then hopefully you can learn from all of this. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you discover and what you find. And I want to see what your list of spiritual treasure is. I'm just very interested in see what, hopefully you'll use the verses correctly. And hopefully we can advance this discussion. Who knows? We may just move forward. We'll have to wait and see, but you can contact me at newsif@yahoo.com. Newsif@yahoo.com. There you go. Again, more to work on, more to study. But hopefully you will benefit greatly from it. All right, I'll stop right there. Everyone have a great evening. God bless.